Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord hears that request, and He is going to fulfill that request as we have expressed it to Him out of the seriousness and sentiments of our heart. God is hearing us today, and if we want more, here's what we know. God is ready to give us more. Hallelujah. And that would be a good pursuit today. God, I want more. I want more. In fact, I will just tell you as a preface to the message, it will be important for the ingredient of faith to be in your spirit and in your mind as the message is preached today. And so that's one of the ways that God gives us more, as we open our faith and increase our faith to Him. Reading from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, and then we're going to read from the Old Testament prophet Zechariah near the back of the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, first of all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, completely trust Him. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. What about this, God? And He will make your paths straight, or easier to follow and walk. And in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, then He answered, spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by human might or human power, but by my spirit, saith. And in some translations, the term Lord of hosts shows us what it is originally derived from: the Lord of the armies of heaven. The captain of the armies of heaven gives us His might and the might of that heavenly army to help us in any situation. So on the promises of both of those sets of verses, I preach to you today, and I lay this in your heart and mind: depend on Him. Depend on Him. Let's thank Him for His greatness and His power and His caring. And Lord, I thank You for Your consideration to us. And I thank You that You consider us when You are willing to send out the armies of heaven and able to come to our aid and our help and our rescue. I'm so thankful for Your faithfulness that lets us know that we can depend upon You. We thank You for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The word depend comes from an original Bible Greek word that has the definition of to hang from. So when you talk about depend, you talk about something that is hanging from. Now, when I first read that definition, it puzzled me just a little bit. But the author went on to tell us it is like those lights hanging from the ceiling. We are saying those lights, and I was just reminded in this service, they were trying to get placement before the drop ceiling was in. And we were in here with the architect and with the builder, and they were trying to get a placement. How far down should it be? Where should it be? And they were going up in a lift. It was about middle of that aisle. They went all the way up, put one of the workers up there, and he was holding one of these actual globes or one like it, and all of a sudden it slipped. And down it came, and fortunately no one was right there where it fell, there were some within a few feet. Mark Camp, the director, foreman, was right nearby. Well, that thing slipped. That proves it just won't hang out there on nothing. But we knew that already. So that light is hanging from something, or in other words, it's attached to something that is above. So when we say to depend upon something or somebody, we're meaning that we are sustained or fastened to something that is above us. Synonyms to depend are words like trust and maybe faith and reliance, are to be able to be certain and to rest with confidence. An illustration of really depending upon somebody, and the question as do I really depend upon them or not, is the happening where Charles Blondin, a French tightrope walker, in the year of 1860, became the first person to walk across or go across a tightrope that was stretched some 11,000 feet wide across the Niagara Falls. Of course, people came from Canada and from America to see. He walked across. That tightrope was about 160 feet above the water, above the falls. He did it several times. I had heard about the walk across, but the historian says he went across. One time he carried a sack. Another time he went over on stilts. Another time on a bicycle. Another time in the dark with no lighting. Another time went across blindfolded. One time he even carried a stove and fixed an omelet in the middle. How about that for breakfast? And of course, there was large crowds on either side, and of course, they were oohing and aahing as Blondin carefully walked across a step at a time. But then, at one point, he asked for a volunteer. And nobody responded, of course. And he said, this time he was pushing a wheelbarrow across the tightrope, across the falls. That's when he asked. People were clapping, and he asked one gentleman, he said, do you really believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across? And the gentleman said, oh, yes, I do. He said, well, would you get in the wheelbarrow? Well, that gentleman, nor anybody else, really was willing to respond. I don't blame him, and neither do you. But what that illustrates is what faith, trust, and true dependency is. They watched, the crowds did. They believed he could do it. They even saw him do it. But when it came down to really depending upon him to get them across the wire, they couldn't bring themselves to depending upon Mr. Blondin. It is one thing to say we believe in God, but true faith, true trust, ultimately depends upon the Lord, no matter how bad the odds look. Now, I wouldn't have got in Blondin's wheelbarrow, and most likely many of you would not get in that wheelbarrow. But we can get in God's wheelbarrow. When he wants to take us across something that looks so impossible, to depend upon him. And if we depended on ourselves, we say, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. I don't know if God can heal this cancer. I don't know if God can put this marriage back together. That's how destructive the falls look beneath us. But I'm going to tell you, you can depend upon him. You can depend upon the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing that is impossible with God. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You can depend upon him because of his faithfulness, because of his promises, and he lives up to those promises. You can depend upon him because he loves you. You can depend upon him because he has the power to do what you and I need him to do and what he has said he would do. We can depend upon him because hear me, somebody, that you may feel like you're walking blind and you don't see the end or the answer. You can depend upon him because he sees and knows what we don't see and what we do not know. So do not go by your natural mind or your natural senses. You can depend upon him. And you know, I think most of us feel this way very strongly. You can depend on somebody that really loves you. You can depend upon someone who really has your best interest at heart. And God has our best interest at heart. And you can depend upon him. You can depend upon him when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I give that to a person who is feeling isolated and lonely today. You can depend. You can get in that wheelbarrow. I will never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, God went a little further when he talked to Jacob. He said, I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you about. God not only says, I won't leave you, but hear me today. Take and appropriate this promise in this verse. He is not going to leave you until he has done whatever he has spoken to you. You say, Brother Williford, can we have that kind of strong confidence? Not in a man, but in God we can. You can depend on him. He said, I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine, the Lord said through Isaiah. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, when it looks like you won't make it, you're in the middle of the falls, and all that's there is one piece of narrow rope. But when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame will not kindle. I do not know what you are walking through today, but I feel so definitely to deliver this message to you. You can depend that God is with you and walking right beside you. Now, here's what depending upon him does not mean and what it does mean. It does not mean not doing our part. It does not mean reckless decision making or doing our own thing. Depending on him is not a license to be lazy. But truly depending upon God looks like this. Number one, believing that he cares and believing that he can. Believing that he cares. I believe the entry door to somebody feeling the peace that you need to feel today is just simply coming back to a foundation that God does care. Sometimes if enough people around us seem like they don't care, that causes us to transfer that to God. And we start wondering, does he care? But you can depend upon this. God cares whether anybody else does or not. And in many cases, those are our own thoughts. There are a whole lot of other people that care. But God cares and he can. He can do what you need and he can be depended upon. Secondly, depending on God looks like this. Leaving the final word with him. If the wind starts to blow while you're going across the tightrope, and things start moving just a little bit, sometimes we want to climb out and say, let me help you, Mr. Blondin, with this wheelbarrow here. Depending on him means leaving the last decision and the final word. In other words, trusting whatever he tells you to do. God is going to speak to us, and he's going to tell you something to do. I'm not talking about audible now. He could do that, but a thought impression. And sometimes we wonder, is that just me or can I really do that? If you'll leave the final word, if you'll leave and trust whatever he tells you as the final word, that's depending upon him. Third, it's trusting whatever he tells you. Sometimes it comes from his word as you read or from his word as it is preached. Sometimes it will come to you in prayer. Or sometimes it will come as counsel from spiritual leadership in your life or a spiritual person in your life. But trust whatever he tells you. That's what depending on God looks like. And then fourthly, it's releasing and giving what you are and what you have into his hands. Trusting that you can release your life and release the situation. How many of us know that when we try to handle it many times, we have wound up mixing it up and it's wound up getting a little more complicated than if we would have just depended upon the Lord? I know how I think. I won't project this on you, but things start going and I think, you know, I've got a good answer for that. And something will check you just to hold off and it's the Lord trying to help us out, saying, I want you to depend on. But we see from our natural perspective, here, let me put my hand. When you really depend on someone, you release your hand from controlling the situation. How many of you have helped somebody learn how to drive? Oh, my. We push the brake for them over on the other side. Maybe sometimes we grab the wheel and try to help them out. I was letting Jude drive down the bumpy road, Grandma's bumpy road last year. Now he was on my lap, and my hands were close. I love that little boy, but I don't totally trust his driving abilities just yet. Someday I will. And so they were close, and all of a sudden, we started getting a little close because there's close trees on either side. So I just said, okay, Jude, go over a little bit. And he did what some of us do. Sometimes he overcompensated. If we try to fix it, we may overcompensate. But I'm a good driver down Grandma's bumpy road, at least. And so, somebody that had some more years of experience, I just reached close enough to take it. But now when he gets 16 or 17, one, he's not going to fit on my lap. And secondly, he ain't going to want to sit there. And thirdly, he's not going to want me to be handling that wheel. But if I trust him, I release my hand. And a word for somebody today is just take your hands off of it right now. That doesn't mean you don't care about it. That doesn't mean you haven't had some good input along the way and won't have further input along the way. But you just take a word from God today. You just take your hand off of it and you can trust him. You can depend upon him. You can depend upon him for salvation. There may be somebody in here that has not yet repented, or has not yet been baptized, or has not yet received the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus Christ can save us. We cannot save ourselves. Can't trust in our own goodness. Can't trust in how many times we've been in a church building. Can't trust in just the fact that our family, and thank God they do, serve the Lord. But it takes a personal experience with the Lord. We are saved by Jesus Christ and his grace. It's not by our works of righteousness, but according to his mercy that he has saved us. In fact, Isaiah said, our righteousness is as filthy rags when we hold it up in comparison to the Lord. You can depend that Jesus Christ and his righteousness can save you. This is why we repent. When we repent, we empty ourselves of ourselves, and then we depend upon him to forgive us. Do not doubt. I feel this very definitely this morning for somebody. Do not doubt, but depend on the fact He will forgive you. He will. I know this is very basic and fundamental, but I really sense that I need to get this point home for somebody that may be wondering a little bit or maybe have some questions about, will God forgive me? Do not doubt. He will. You can depend. You can get in that repentance wheelbarrow. You can trust. And no matter how rocky or how difficult or how devastating the falls have been underneath your life, do not doubt. He will forgive. Some are depending on themselves. They're trying to forgive themselves. Let me tell you, when you truly depend on God and that He is forgiving you, that will make it a whole lot easier to forgive yourself. And the enemy is using this on people. He's using it on good people. He's using it even not only those before they get the Holy Ghost, but after they get the Holy Ghost. They beat themselves up because they will not forgive themselves. Accept the forgiveness of God. Get in that wheelbarrow, and that's what's going to take you to the destination of being able to forgive yourself. God, it's in your hands. And one more thing I want to add about forgiveness. Do not limit God's forgiveness and what He wants to do in your life because others are not forgiving you. He forgives. And sometimes when others do not forgive us, that haunts us, and it does bother us, and we're human. We have feelings. But that does not mean that God has not forgiven you. You can trust. And sometimes we have to walk over those rushing waters of the hubbub and the feeling, or maybe the looks, or maybe the comments of others that have not forgiven you. But do not limit God's forgiveness. Don't fail to walk where God wants you to walk. You put all of your eggs in His basket. You get in His wheelbarrow because He forgives. I'm going to preach right now to those of us who have been and somebody who needs to be baptized in Jesus' name. We depend upon Him when we're baptized. We're depending upon this truth that He does wash our sins away. Now the rest of us humans, remember it. But you can get in this wheelbarrow. God completely forgives and then He washes your sins away. When you are baptized, you have a clean slate. It doesn't matter what is in the background. You have a new start over. And when you are baptized, you are saying, I'm not going to depend on my good intentions. Because some people are thinking, I'll be baptized someday. I want to tell you, you can depend that God wants to wash your sins away. When would that be, Brother Williford? I've also heard people innocently say, well, when God is ready. God is always ready. I'm just going to go ahead and be very straightforward. I'm making an appeal for anybody that has never been baptized in Jesus' name to come and be baptized this morning, because you can trust that God is going to wash your sins away. And of course, you can also trust His qualifications for heaven. He said, except a person be born again of water and spirit, they cannot enter into heaven or the kingdom of God. Peter said, be baptized for the remission, which means the freedom and the pardon and the deliverance and the liberty from your sins. And when we're buried with Him in baptism, Paul said, we arise to walk in a new life. There is something new ahead of you if you will be baptized this morning. You're going to have a new life. You're going to feel different. You're going to be different. You're going to talk different. There is going to be a different mindset in you. He said it. We walk in the newness of life. And when we are baptized, Colossians says, He takes our sins out of the way. He blots out the handwriting that was against us. And this baptism, Peter said this in his book, baptism clears us and clears our conscience. It gives us the answer of a good conscience toward God. You will not have to fear that you are not ready. You will not have to continually feel guilty. I want some of us that have been baptized before and previously, maybe a long time ago, I think we ought to rejoice and remember, look, whatever is under the blood is under the blood. Whatever was remitted then is still remitted now. There is power in the remission of water baptism. Oh, we ought to thank Him for it right now, Lord. I want to thank You for being willing. Wash away. Wash away. I know sometimes when we need to take steps like this, people, especially people that are more conscientious, they wonder, what's somebody going to say? What are others going to say? Well, those fears, all I know how to say it using the analogy that I used this morning, it's as simple as climbing in the wheelbarrow. Whew. It's as simple as trusting in His Word and what He said. And then He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. We depend upon Him to fill us with the Holy Ghost. If a person needs and wants a change, and we do except because, unless we have Him in our life, we should know and be able to depend on the fact of the infilling of the Holy Ghost will definitely make us a new creature, Paul said. This Holy Ghost experience, this power of God, is the change everybody needs. And after we receive the Holy Ghost initially, we've got to remain dependent upon Him. We know that we don't get up from the first day experience in the Lord and up from the altar or wherever it was we received the Holy Ghost, and then we're walking on our own. We keep depending on that power that Jesus said, I'm going to give you. In fact, church, hear me today. Hear me, believers, and our guests too. Hear me. We should make the Holy Ghost our main dependency. That's what the text was about, not by our might. Not by how many years that we'd been able to serve the Lord. And listen, God counts that, and He records that faithfulness. And that's something to be commended, the number of years. But that's not what will save us. That's not what will overcome this world. That's not what will lead and guide us in wisdom and guidance. It's the Holy Ghost, not our might, not our power, not our ability, but the power and the help that is by the Spirit. We cannot successfully or effectively live life or live as Christians without the Spirit. But that Spirit will empower your life, and you can depend. You can depend on the Holy Ghost. Listen, here's what we know. And I pray that you are in agreement with this. There is not one of us. Every one of us need the leading of the Holy Ghost in our life. We need the impact of the Spirit to lead and guide us, not just in church services, but every day of our life. And here's what it is. God is going to empower you, and He is going to give you the help of the Spirit, the Almighty God. And I want to say this to somebody. I feel like laying this into somebody's life and experience. He's going to anoint you to experience the power of God and the gifts of God and the miraculous. Do you receive that right now? Not my words, but His impartation. Yes, the help of the Spirit. You can get in that wheelbarrow. You can depend on God. You can walk in the Spirit. Listen, walking in the Spirit and being used by God and the gifts and the power of the Spirit, that is not only for pastor leader and not only for those who minister the Word. That's for every child of God. You can trust and depend. And I know that I'm preaching to people who have experienced it, the power and the work of God. And you can depend upon God for deliverance, either for yourself or for somebody else. I want you to think about some deliverance opportunity that you know about, whether it's in your own life or whether it's somebody else that you know, perhaps somebody that you love very dearly. God is a deliverer. It was one of His main purposes, mission points, and reasons for coming. In the book of Hebrews, the writer said that we're partakers of flesh and blood. And so that's why He became flesh and blood. But then He gives us the reason for coming. And that's the basis for this point right here. That through death, He might destroy him. Whew. He came and died. so that he could destroy him that had the power of death. He's referring to the devil. That is the devil. And watch this. We can believe this. We should believe this. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime. It doesn't matter how long somebody has been bound. Jesus can set them free. And maybe I'm with you. I've been down there on the ground and I'm saying, I believe you, Jesus. I believe you, Jesus. And then he said, I want to save so-and-so. In other words, climb in the wheelbarrow. Maybe some what you are thinking, a far-out thought of somebody being delivered, is coming to your mind. That's not a far-out thought. That's a dependence upon the Lord God, who is able to deliver anybody, whether it's a lust, whether it's a drug addiction, whether it's some fear in their life. You can depend that the Lord is a deliverer. That verse says he came to deliver. He came to preach deliverance. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How many of you know of a situation that needs deliverance? It may not be you, it may be. Would you just lift a hand? I just want us to go. This is going on record before the Lord and publicly, that we know of a need for deliverance. Now, would you pray? Would you lift the other hand? And I want us to believe God together and pray. Hallelujah. Climb in that wheelbarrow. I believe you, God. I want to see it as done. I want to believe that you have the power to break the chains, to untie the ropes. You're able to unwrap a Lazarus that has been in the tomb of their life and their addiction and their deadness and the traps. You are able, God. You are able. You are able. I want to give you more scripture on deliverance. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Paul said, who delivered us from so great a death? He's talking about what happened when he repented and was baptized. And now here it comes to the present. That was past. Now it's present. And you do deliver, God, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. Praise God. It's a continuing action. We were delivered from sin when we repented and were water baptized. He's delivering us every day and keeping our feet on his pathway. And one of these days we're going to be delivered. And we're going to say goodbye, world, goodbye. We're going to leave this earth. We're going to leave all the trouble, the turmoil, the pressures. We really believe that. I want to get in that second coming wheelbarrow. You know, some folks are scaring us off of preaching the second coming because they say that's pie in the sky and you're trying to not acknowledge where you really are. Listen, all of us know where we really are. We've been walking through this mess. We know it, but we also know he's coming, and he's coming back for his church. He's coming for you and I. He's coming. None of us. Listen, you can depend upon him for provision. Can I get a witness in the house for a provision? He's a provider. He's still Jehovah Jireh. We can depend upon him like Abraham did. He can provide anything you need, anytime you need it, any way that you need it. God can do it. I read the story several years ago. There was a little neighborhood lady. She had some needs, but she lived next door to an old crank. But something touched him. You know some of those too. Something touched the old guy's heart. And secretly, he didn't want everybody. He had to live up to that image. You know how we humans are. So he snuck over there and set a bag of groceries. This is back in the day when they did it that way. Set a bag of groceries on her porch. Well, she didn't know who it was at first. And finally, somebody had seen it happen. And they said, Mrs. Clark, you know who it was that brought that bag of groceries? Said, that was your old cranky neighbor. Well, her response was this: well, the Lord provides, even if he has to use the devil to do it. It doesn't matter. The point is, God can do it anytime. Any way and anything. I'm preaching about some wild faith today. I'm preaching about getting in the wheelbarrow and believing that God is a provider. It's not always money. It's not always finance. It's not always food. But I say whatever it is, God can provide it, even if he has to use the enemy. We're not dependent on the cranky old neighbor anyway. We're dependent on God. And if we depend on him, just let him use whatever tool he wants to use. I'm going to tell you, let me talk a little bit about finance here. God delights in making up what we lack. I probably ruined this point by saying I was going to talk about finances. But God delights in making up what we lack. In the same section of Scripture where he commands us to give, he also commands blessings and provision. I want us to be careful not to overlook the blessings and the commandments, the expectations of God. Both are important. They're to be expected and they're necessary. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And God answers really quick, in tithes and offerings. You've cheated me in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you are cursed with a curse. Bring all the tithes. Now, if you're going to be politically and pastorally correct, you probably want to strike out verse 9, that first phrase, don't tell anybody they're cursed. Well, we better not change the word of the Lord. And I want us to understand it from a positive perspective. Because not doing those things puts a curse on our life. And it may not look like it's a curse. And we may feel like, and it really may be true, we're going by and we're getting by. But God said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat. God says his kingdom, his house, his church is dependent upon it. Bring it there to my house. And then there's the commands and the penalties. They're so definite. They're so clear. Make no mistake. God expects our giving. God expects our offerings and our tithes. There will need to be an answer, an accounting for every paycheck, amount, or income, whether it's tithe or whether it's untithe. And I'm not talking about payback here, about having to go back and get it. If you want to do that, that's fine if you haven't been tithing. But I'm talking about an answering for and an answering to. There's no doubt we're all going to answer to God. But I believe you can answer to yourself first. You can become responsible and accountable for being obedient to what God expects. And if he says something about a special offering to your spirit, and you have been sensitive, over $8,000 for the Hurricane Relief Fund, and then you could go on record offerings this year. She's for Christ, another great year. So I'm not preaching this because there's a need for money. There's always a need for money. But I just want to open our understanding to really what God says, both from the command and the penalty side, and the blessing and the provision side, you can become responsible and accountable for being obedient to God. So I just say today, begin without another day's delay to give, to tithe, to offering unto the Lord, because he has blessed you to receive that. And the blessings are just as definite and clear as the commands and the expectations. He said in that middle of that 10th verse, prove me. If I will not open you or open for you the windows of heaven. I want you to just let those words resonate. Open for you the windows of heaven. Pour you out a blessing or empty out a blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine, the grapes that he was referencing here, cast their fruit before the time. Here's the essence of Malachi chapter 3. You can depend on him to open the windows of heaven. Maybe your mind was somewhere else. You can depend on him. Sometimes here's how we think. Well, that may happen for somebody else, but not for me. No, you can get in the wheelbarrow. God promised to open for me the windows of heaven. He didn't specify that to any particular strata of spirituality. He said, you can depend upon me to open the windows of heaven. And get this, pour out a blessing that you cannot, you don't have room enough to contain it. Now there's shouting ground right there. But it's true. And I don't think the Lord wants us to get all excited about how much. Just the fact that he's willing to do it. And when we start believing he's willing to do it, I'm going to tell you, it is going to happen. He's going to open the windows of heaven, and there's going to be so much that you cannot believe it or contain it. You're going to believe God. You can depend that he's going to change things. He said, I'm going to rebuke whatever is consuming your provision, whatever is consuming your finance. He said, if you start giving, you know, sometimes we wonder, can I afford to? That's not the question. The question is, what did God say to do? That's over everything. You can depend on a blessing that you cannot contain. Giving never lessens your storehouse. It never lessens the checking, banking, or savings account. Oh, I know, on paper it looks that way. But we don't trust on paper. Our trust is on and in God and his word. And something that's very important. And we're getting ready this Wednesday night to start a series of lessons on the family. I want to tell you, and we're reading books, and we're doing research and everything, those of us that are teaching. But I'm going to tell you, we got to depend on the Lord, and we can depend upon him to keep, to guide, protect, and bless. How many of you have seen the Lord help your family and protect them or keep them? Would you just lift it as a testimony to the Lord right now? Yeah. And I hear some thank you, Lords, and thank you, Jesuses. That's because we are thankful. God is going to give family leaders and parents, you can trust in this, the instructions that are needed to safely guide your family with wisdom and help your family to be saved. Noah obeyed and depended on God when he said, build that ark. He obeyed and depended on the instruction to build an ark. He obeyed and depended on how to build the ark. And so when God lays something on your heart as a mom, a dad, a grandparent, a grandfather, a family member that is trusted, when God lays something on your heart, you need to do this in the right way, but don't hesitate and obey what God says. He said he did it out of the fear of God for the saving of his family. We can depend on God. Our families can be saved. I know how great the attack is. But I'm going to tell you, and I thank God for our students. I thank God for our outlet. I thank God for the faith that is in them and their usefulness in the kingdom of God. God is raising up people. It's because they've had families that have protected them. And if they don't have families that are protecting them, God's going to protect them and keep them and use them also. But God is going to have a strong church made up of strong families. You can depend upon it. Families are going to be saved. And all of our families have been tested and tried in various ways. And there are times we do not have the answers, whether it's about a family or anything else. We have no idea what the next step should be. And I really feel this right now. When you don't know what to do, you can depend upon him and his wisdom and his direction. And yesterday as I was finishing this line of the notes, I felt the Holy Ghost. I started crying sitting out there. I started feeling the touch of God. Somebody today needs to trust God. He's going to give you the answer you need. Stand with me if you would, please. There's so much going on, and sometimes when there's so much confusion and chaos in our own minds or maybe in the life around us, our family around us, we have trouble centering our thoughts. But God is bringing us back to center. He wants to anchor you today on the fact you can depend upon him. I'm going to open this altar in just a moment. If you need to repent, come. If you need to be water baptized, come and pray before and then see us, and we will baptize you in Jesus' name. If you need the Holy Ghost, or you need it for the first time or a refilling, you ought to come today because you can depend. If you have a provisional need, I couldn't touch all the areas. If you have a healing need, you can depend that God's a healer. No matter the need. So I won't be forced to try to come up with all the categories. You just know that God can do it all. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. All things are possible with Him. It may start with just realizing I'm attached to something above me. I'm not living this on my own. I'm not even praying this on my own. It needs to be my prayer and my faith, but I'm trusting in a power that's beyond mine. It's not by might nor power, but by your Spirit. Now, just begin to come with your faith. Just depend upon Him. Your walk down here says, I'm going to depend upon Him. Your prayer when you get here says, I'm depending upon the Lord. You can depend on Him. You can depend on Him, whether it's for His grace, whether it's for His counsel and direction, whether it's for a healing or a provision, whatever it is, if it's for wisdom and counsel, yes, yes. And as you come, would you just begin to pray? And I would ask that others would gather in, and would you agree with God and agree with those who are here, believing God that He is able. You can, maybe your hand on the shoulder will say, you know, I depended on God. You can depend upon Him. Yes, you can depend upon the Lord. You can depend. Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, and all over this house, would you very reverently and in the fear and respect of God, would you begin to pray as in agreement with Him, His Word, and those who have come for needs and with needs. Yes, Lord, we believe You. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. You are able. You know what every need represents.